12 Moons by Lady Ginelli. Read by Rose. It's Geordi who invites Tyler up to their family's place, his second summer with the Stars. That should have been a sign, Tyler thinks, when he lands and Geordi and Jamie come to pick him up at the airport. Jamie looks shifty and uncomfortable, tight-lipped and unsmiling. Maybe he misread things between him and Jamie. The growing familiarity, the easy way they hung out together. Maybe it was just a captain thing. Maybe he was just being friendly and Tyler took it wrong. Thought Jamie wanted him around when he was just doing his job. Jamie drives, abnormally quiet, even when Tyler leans between the seats to mess with the radio. And Geordi keeps up a friendly conversation. "The hell are we going?" Tyler asks when there's a pause in Geordi's listing of their cousins. And seriously, he must have just babbled 30 names at Tyler. They can't possibly have that many cousins, can they? Sanic isn't that far away from the airport. They've been driving a couple of hours, and there's nothing outside the window lately but trees. The city of Victoria long behind them. Heading north up the island, Tyler figures. The roads that intersect the one they're on aren't labeled, not even with street signs.
Out to the lake. We're doing a family thing there this weekend. Camping, hunting, cooking under the stars. It'll be awesome. You'll love it, Geordi promises.
Jamie's grip tightens on the steering wheel, knuckles going white.
Jamie, Tyler asks, not sure where he wants to go with the question.
Hey, if I'm intruding on a private function, I can hang out somewhere else, he starts.
Although it would be kind of rude of them to drag him up here and then ditch him.
No, Jamie cuts in. No, I want you here. It's just...
He takes a breath.
Our family is kind of a lot to take in. It can be a little crazy.
Crazier than All-Star Weekend?
He expects Jamie to laugh and relax. Because what could be wilder than that? But he heaves a heavy sigh instead. Jamie wasn't kidding about things being crazy with their family gathering, and Geordi was in no way exaggerating the massive number of people who have come. They pull up to the parking area, a recently mowed field, and there are easily 100 vehicles there. Cars, trucks, campers, and caravans. A slew of motorcycles lined one side of the field, gleaming chrome in the summer sun. A couple of people are there, taking things to or from their transportation. Tyler doesn't think they look particularly like Jamie and Geordi, but they greet each other by name. And then Geordi will whisper to him how they're related, blood and marriage, and who it's through. Tyler's starting to get an impression of close-knit ties between large families.
Our side is already set up.
Jamie says, and grabs Tyler's bags out of the trunk. If he'd known this was a camping thing instead of a living in civilization thing, he'd have brought different stuff. And he's tempted to just unpack in the car and bring only what he thinks will be useful. But Jamie's already heading off down a path with his bags, and he has to hurry to keep up. Their setup means a trio of huge tents interconnected with tarped-over walkways between them. Side flaps open to catch the breeze. Tyler's has an air mattress already blown up, a cooler, a camp chair, everything he could want.
Food's that way, Geordi tells him.
Jamie is back to silent sulking.
Latrine's over there.
About that time, people have started to notice them. Notice Tyler and the Ben's sister and mother descend upon them, drag him away from the brothers, who mercilessly abandon him. Thanks, guys. And off to meet 100 other relations that he'll never possibly remember the names of. He gets wrangled into food prep, and it's no hardship to peel potatoes while hearing about Jamie's toddlerhood attachment to an oak log, carrying it with him and snuggling it at night. He's getting blackmail material for years to come. A mixed group comes out of the woods an hour later. Half a dozen people, Jamie and Geordi among them, sweaty and grinning and carrying a fucking deer with them. It's been gutted and bled elsewhere, but they skin and butcher it with huge knives there in the camp, dumping the pieces into big tubs of sauce and seasoning to marinate until later. It's raucous and wild, and people head down the path to the lake with towels thrown over their shoulders, more of them naked than dressed. Casual nudism aside, Tyler isn't really sure what Jamie was so scared about him seeing. But it's only afternoon. Maybe things get really objectionable after sundown.
Want to swim?
Jamie asks him. He's bloody to the elbows, and Tyler could see why he'd want to clean up. For all that Tyler is something of an exhibitionist, the idea of being naked around women and kids, people he doesn't know, is kind of weirding him out.
My suits and my luggage? He asks, and Jamie nods.
I'll walk you to the tent.
Tyler isn't sure why Jamie thinks he wouldn't make it there on his own, but he lets himself be escorted. Enjoys the quiet companionship.
This isn't so weird, he says, trying to reassure Jamie, ease his obvious worry.
Not yet it's not, Jamie grumbles, and Tyler shrugs.
If it gets too wild, he can always go hide in his tent. At least nobody here is looking at him like they're waiting for him to fuck up so they can catch a picture on their cell phone. And thinking about phones makes him realize his hasn't chirped for anything the whole time he's been here. He pulls it out, and there's no signal at all. In another 2 hours, the battery will be dead, and it'll be a brick. He turns it off, chunks it into his suitcase, and forgets about it. He changes into his bathing trunks. Jamie is being a weirdo, staying outside with his back to the tent flap like he's standing guard. They go down to the lake together, Tyler's sneakers slipping on the rocky path down. Jamie, sure-footed beside him, steadying him when he wobbles. People turn to look when they step out of the trees. More than Tyler would have expected, towels and coolers scattered around the waterline. Tyler knows he's staring, but he's just not used to so much variation in the naked people he sees. He's used to the hockey players and women with bodies like Playboy models. Not this mix of heavy, thin, old, and young. Jamie takes advantage of his distraction to strip down, piling his clothes with his shoes. Tyler just sees the back of him as he brushes past on his way to the water. Nothing Tyler hasn't seen 100 times in the changing rooms and showers. Jamie pauses only to greet a big gray dog that comes up and sniffs at the dried blood in his hands. Then he steps out onto the rocks and dives fearlessly in, like he knows every hazard under the tan-browned water by heart. Tyler's breath catches at the smooth arch of his body, the way he looks so comfortable here, so natural. He wants things he can't have. He'd been so obvious those first months in Dallas, how much he admired Jamie, how much he wanted him. If Jamie wanted him back, there had been plenty of opportunity for him to give some sign. And he hadn't.
You gonna stand there all day? An older woman with saggy breasts and stretch marks across her stomach asks with a wink. I mean, I can't begrudge you admiring that view.
Tyler chokes on air and goes 3 shades of red and hurries down to the sandy beach, where 6 young dogs play in the shallows. The water is cold as balls, and his draw up into his body. He's really glad he didn't try to go nude like most of the other people here. Even if Jamie doesn't want him like that, Tyler doesn't want to see him all tiny and shriveled by the chill. Speaking of Jamie, he pops up out of the water a few feet from Tyler, startling him and splashing him, and it's too fucking cold for that. So Tyler splashes him back, and then tries to dunk him when that doesn't seem to have any effect. Jamie smiles, really smiles for the first time this trip, and they wrestle in the water. It doesn't seem so cold with Jamie's hands on him. Jamie's strength kept in check as he lets Tyler have a fighting chance to win. Jordy comes over from wherever he's been and gangs up on Jamie, and then a pair of women jump in, dunking them both, as Tyler backs out gracefully. The kids Tyler grew up with don't play like this. People being thrown bodily out of the water and climbing on each other's shoulders to leap down their opponents and push them under. Tangles of naked limbs sliding over each other as they try to gain advantage. It's rough and wild and beautiful to watch. Tyler is sitting on a rock watching the show when they call the game by reason of exhaustion. Jamie wades over to him, props his elbows up on the sun-warmed stone, grins up at Tyler, all of his tension washed away by the strenuous activity. Sunlight glistens on the beads of water on his broad shoulders.
Still not sorry Jordy invited you?
Tyler grins.
Totally not sorry.
Dinner that night is amazing. Grilled venison and vegetables and moonshine straight from the family still. Tyler gets spectacularly drunk, falls asleep in the V at Jamie's legs by the campfire. The sounds of people laughing and talking and singing all around them. The howling of wolves sounding impossibly close and not at all frightening. Jamie wakes him up when it's time to stumble back to his tent, and Tyler has a split second where he can't believe he did that. Fuck, what if somebody took pictures? What if he did something embarrassing? This is a different place, and nothing that happens here is going to end up on Deadspin. The camping thing is not nearly as cool the next morning when he's shitting into a ditch of a woodlog perch and throwing his scoop of lime over it when he's done. There's coffee, though, and aspirin for his hangover, and he thinks he'll survive it for a week. For 3 days it goes like that, different groups leaving to hunt. Tyler isn't sure he's up to shooting Bambi, and nobody invites him to join their excursions anyway, but he takes his turns with the guys fishing in the lake in the early mornings. He guts and cleans more fish than he's ever done in his whole life. There's swimming and hiking and just time with Jamie, and he treasures every minute. Seeing Jamie like this, slowly opening up until he seems whole and happy and without even the hint of the weight of responsibility he carries in Dallas. The fourth day, just about everyone heads out into the woods, bringing back branches and deadfall and entire fallen trees to the clearest edge of the lake, making a huge pile. "That's going to be too big to cook on," Tyler says, trying to figure out the use of a fire that big.
"It's, ceremonial," Jamie tells him,
and Tyler doesn't want to see him nervous again, so he doesn't question it. Jamie gets drunk that night, but Tyler stops when he's only a little tipsy. The growing hum of anticipation in the air making him uncertain, wary. People start heading towards the bonfire clearing, and Jamie follows them, Tyler in tow. There's drumming and singing, chanting in a language he hasn't heard before. The fire seems to point straight up at the full moon, hanging heavy and low. Even Tyler can see that the setup is significant. Beach and lake, flame and sky. A woman in a wolf mask dances in front of the fire, calling words that the crowd replies to. Some language Tyler's never heard. The wolves from the nights before sound even closer now, howling, circling the camp. He thinks he should be afraid. But there is a celebratory air to the event, the exact cause made clear when the leader swoops down and pulls a teenage girl up from her seat, swings her around and dances with her for a moment, both of them laughing. She leaves the girl standing and goes to a boy on the opposite side of the fire, brings them together and ties a string around their wrists. They leave the circle, leaning together and smiling. A puppy is brought out of the crowd, squirming and yowling its displeasure, lifted up in the air by the old woman and named Andrew, which Tyler thinks is kind of a weird name for a dog and a weird name to be celebrated by such a big group. But whatever. The joy of the night is infectious, and when the crowd cheers, Tyler's voice is among them. Jamie leans drunkenly against him and smiles up at him, and Tyler fights the urge to kiss him. Is so focused, in fact, that neither of them sees the she-wolf come to them in her mask. Her slim fingers wrap around Jamie's wrist, and his smile falters, a look of horror going across his features.
"No, please, not tonight. Not yet,"
he begs, and Tyler doesn't know what's happening, but he hates the fear in Jamie's voice. "Tonight," the woman answers and draws him up. He doesn't fight it.
"Hey, could we maybe talk about this?"
Tyler asks, but she puts a finger up in front of where her lips are behind the mask. Jamie's shoulders slump, resigned, and he walks away from Tyler, follows the woman closer to the fire. She draws Jamie down and leans in like a gentle kiss to his forehead. There is no dancing for Jamie, no jubilation.
"Oh, God,"
Tyler thinks. Jamie's getting married tonight. Jamie is getting married tonight in front of me. He wants to stand up. Wants to fucking leave. Even if there has never been a chance for them, this is too much to ask him to witness. This isn't fun anymore. He tries to get to his feet as the ceremony begins, as the woman says the same words she said over the young woman earlier. He has no fucking idea where Jordy had been hanging out, but as Tyler goes to stand, Jordy is there, heavy hand on his shoulder, keeping him in place.
Wait, Jordy says,
his voice soft, kind, even as his hand is unmovable. Then the priestess comes back to Tyler, pulls him bodily from the ground when he's too stunned to stand on his own. Jordy is helping by pushing him up, pushing him to her. Will you join? She asks in an accent he doesn't recognize. Blood to blood, life to life, a cycle of the moon. He looks to Jamie, swaying slightly in front of the fire.
If he wants me, I will, Tyler says,
and the lines of Jamie's face crumple with relief, and he nods. The she-wolf draws a length of string from under her cloak and raises Tyler's hand to meet Jamie's, binds them loosely together. She says the words, and Jamie leans in, not for a kiss, but to nuzzle Tyler, to rub against him temple to temple as the crowd roars its approval.
Where do we go now?
Tyler asks, loud enough for Jamie to hear him over the fire and the cheering.
My tent, Jamie says,
and Tyler leads them by their bound hands, people touching them as they pass, reverent brushes and hearty thumps as they cut through the circle. Shadows move through the trees around them as Jamie walks him to his tent, but Tyler doesn't feel afraid. Unzipping the flap and climbing in while still connected at the wrist is awkward, though, and Jamie snickers in the dark. How long does this thing stay on? He asks as Jamie fumbles around and nearly drags him down.
Dawn, Jamie answers. Tyler, this.
Not what I signed on for when Jordy invited me to Victoria, that's for sure, he says with a grin. And Jamie flinches a little. Not that I'm complaining, Tyler amends, because he's really freaked out right now. But it's Jamie, and they're in Jamie's tent, and it's looking like the fun parts are just about to start.
I'm good, he says, gentler.
You?
Yeah,
Jamie sighs, and lays him down on a sleeping bag, free hand cradling Tyler's neck as he leans down and kisses him for the first time, tasting of alcohol and meat and wood smoke. He kisses and nips his way down Tyler's jaw, his neck, grabs the collar of his t-shirt with his teeth and freehand and rips it down the middle.
Fuck, Tyler breathes, because call him shallow, but Jamie's strength is one hell of a turn-on.
His mouth is hot on Tyler's chest, almost feverish on his nipple.
Oh, God, Jamie,
Tyler pants, his hips arching of their own volition, trying to get some attention, some contact. Jamie laces the fingers of his bound hand with Tyler's, holding that hand down while he undoes the button of Tyler's jeans with the other. Together, they struggle Tyler out of the rest of his clothes, and he would complain that Jamie is still dressed, except that Jamie's mouth is on his dick then, drawing him in, getting him fully hard. It's sloppy, over-eager, and unpracticed. Tyler tries to be good, be easy about fucking Jamie's mouth, but he dives down when Tyler doesn't thrust hard enough, gags himself a few times before he figures out the depth of it. Jamie, Tyler gasps out, endearment and warning all at once. Jamie slides his free arm under Tyler's hips, squeezes his ass and holds him in, swallowing as Tyler comes in his mouth. He breathes hard in the dark, coming down from an orgasm that shouldn't have been that great, but was. Jamie's head rests on his stomach. Tyler's fingers card through Jamie's hair.
Holy fuck, he whispers. That was...
Jamie sighs, his body completely lax against Tyler's.
Dude, are you asleep?
Tyler asks, but only Jamie's soft breathing answers him. I can't believe you passed out on me on our wedding night, he complains to the dark.
But on the other hand, he's glad he gets this. Time to hold Jamie and work his head around the turn his life has taken. Too bad he wastes the chance by falling asleep himself. Tyler wakes up slow, a tickling caress over the back of his shoulder finally penetrating his consciousness. Too rhythmic and regular to be accidental. He blinks awake, rolls over, and stares up into Jamie's worried eyes. "Hey," Tyler says, not sure what the new day has brought him.
"Hey,"
Jamie answers. A tickle over Tyler's shoulder is the sting from last night. A loose knot still twisting the middle of it. Jamie is propped up on one elbow, looking down at him. "When did that come off?" Tyler asks, suddenly worried that it's a bad thing to lose before morning. That maybe it annuls the whole thing. Maybe it unmarries them to lose it early. He reaches up, lets the string slide through his fingers, feeling the tangible reminder of what they did last night. Jamie shrugs.
"Sometime in the night. We woke up together, that's the important thing."
"So this...
wear's still on?"
Jamie looks down.
"I was really drunk last night. That was a surprise that it was you. I would have warned you. There's so much I would have told you ahead of time."
Tyler takes a deep breath. He's not the brightest guy he knows, but he's not stupid. Is this like a cult or something? Jamie shakes his head.
"No, nothing like that. It's just..."
He frowns, and Tyler wants to kiss it away, but he isn't sure he's allowed.
"It's too old to be a cult. It's religion and community and pack. A way of life that most people have never seen, never dreamed."
"I'm listening," Tyler says, trying not to think too much. Just let Jamie tell him what he needs to.
"It's the wolf, their bloodline intertwined with ours back further than any records show. Their strength and wisdom getting us through the cold winters. Our numbers bolstering them when they needed it. We're related, intermarried. Connected."
"You and...
the wolves,"
Tyler says. And if this whole thing has been the Ben brothers fucking with him, he's gonna be pissed. Like, super pissed. His breath quickens. He wants to sit up. Wants to push Jamie back until he knows they aren't pulling the mother of all pranks on him. He just can't be the one to break contact. Can't pull back from the light press of Jamie's body against his.
"Werewolves,"
Jamie cracks, and Tyler feels dizzy. Drunk, like he's hearing things that can't be serious.
"Are you fucking with me?"
he asks. And Jamie shakes his head.
"You're a werewolf."
Jamie's eyes fly open with surprise.
"Me?"
He chokes and falls into a coughing fit that might be poorly disguised laughter.
No, not me. I wouldn't have played hockey if I was wolf. Wouldn't have left the island at all, most likely."
"But you love hockey," Tyler protests, offended for the Jamie of a world where he was born different.
"The pack is everything,"
Jamie says, soft and sure.
"It's not safe for the wolves to travel, to be far from home, to spend the full moons alone."
Tyler rolled that around in his head.
"So you get to do what you want."
Jamie shakes his head and Tyler's stomach sinks.
"The pack is everything," he says again. "When I showed potential at baseball, later hockey, the council met. It was a risk, a cost to the pack, to have a promising son leave, even for a few decades. They weighed the possible gain against the costs. I stayed close until I turned 18, and they thought I was secure enough, grown enough to leave and keep the secrets of the pack. To keep the pack's needs first in my heart, even though I spend most of the year far from here."
He said,
"You didn't know it was going to be me when she took you up in front of the fire. You didn't know it was going to be me she paired you with."
He's trying not to freak out, but this... it's all going wrong. The things he wanted being presented to him in the form of sick mockery. Jamie frowns down at his hands.
"I hadn't thought there was any hope. I tried not to set myself up for disappointment about things I couldn't have.
His eyes go down to his lap, looking so shy, so uncertain.
I like you. I like spending time with you, I thought. There was no sense going down that road. The matchmakers would pick me a good mate, one that was for the good of the pack.
Tyler frowns. How am I for the good of the pack? He asks, because he's never been for the good of anything before he came to Dallas. Jamie shrugs.
I don't have to understand it.
You just... Tyler feels sick. You'd just be with me, if you wanted to or not.
If I didn't want you,
Jamie says, and the emphasis is deeply reassuring.
I would trust the pack to have made a good decision. I would do anything in my power to grow the match, to be good enough for you to be happy with me.
He takes Tyler's hand in his.
You're not. I need you to know you're not trapped in this. By tradition, we have 12 moons to make this work or call it a failed coupling. A year from now, we'll come, and on the bonfire night, we can throw the string in, and it'll be undone. Or the next day, all the successful matches from the year before will go out at dawn and tie their strings around the pack tree and declare this is for life.
Jamie takes a breath.
If this is freaking you out, I won't push you. We don't have to do this. I won't mention it in Dallas, and next year I'll bring the string back alone.
And he looks. Shit. There are tears gathering at the corners of Jamie's dark eyes, glistening in the morning light, and Tyler can't. Won't, just will not do this to him. Won't end them before they've had a chance to be something. No, he gasps, moving his hands to Jamie's shoulders. And then, when that's not personal enough, up his neck to cup his jaw. Know this. If you want this, if you want to try, I'm in, okay? I'm all in.
Jamie leans down, nudges his lips against Tyler's, so much more shy than he had been the night before. It's not the hottest kiss Tyler has ever had in his life, but it's real. Honest.
They could both use a toothbrush. Coffee? Tyler asks hopefully. If he's Jamie's... what? Partner? Mate. Boy toy for life? He thinks it's not too much to ask. Jamie smiles and stands up, offering Tyler a hand.
We can do that.
Tyler groans as he comes up. Jamie's tent does not have the air mattress that Tyler has enjoyed for the previous 3 nights. Ugh. Why did we sleep here instead of my tent? Jamie's eyes cut to the side, and Tyler blinks at him. Is this a tradition thing? Am I the wife?
No,
Jamie protests, and Tyler narrows his eyes.
I mean, okay, if pack was binding to pack, it would be the male's campsite they would spend the first night in, if there was a male. And if they weren't both male... But bringing in an outsider, it falls to the established member to host the bonding night.
And it's not like Tyler was honestly offended. He's been Brownie's wife for years. Still, it's a little fun to watch Jamie sweat this. He bumps Jamie's shoulder. Get your wife some coffee? He asks again, raising his eyebrows like Marshall does at the scent of cooking bacon. Jamie snorts, knows he's being fucked with.
Come on, you're pathetic.
Breakfast in the camp, the fucking werewolf camp, Tyler reminds himself, is not so different than lunch or dinner. There's metal kettles of coffee by the cook fire, handles too hot to touch without big oven mitts on. There are rabbits roasting on a spit, and a Dutch oven full of biscuits. A little burnt on the bottom, but edible. They get their food on tin plates and find a place to sit that's not too damp from the overnight rains. Jamie leans against a tree trunk, and after a second, Tyler leans against Jamie. Still awed by the idea that he can do this. Touch Jamie. That Jamie wants him to. Jordy comes over with his own plate and cup and nods down at them.
Mind if I join you?
Tyler shrugs and Jamie nods.
Sure, have a seat.
Jordy sits and smiles.
You guys look like you had a good night.
Jamie coughs and rubs at his face, but he's smiling behind his hand.
Should have trusted us.
Jordy says, half tease and half reprimand.
Making you unhappy wouldn't have benefited the pack.
Jamie sighs and nods, the smile falling.
I know. I'm sorry.
Tyler looks between them. And okay. If he's in this thing, he kind of has the right, the duty even, to know what's going on.
So what was the deal? He asks, trying not to sound too pushy. If you trust the pack to choose for you, why didn't you want to go up?
Jamie sucks his lower lip in and draws it back out slow between his teeth.
I didn't think there was anybody like me in the pack right now. Single and gay. When she called me up, I thought I was going to be bound to a woman who I never could have been right for. Or a wolfkin, and I'd have to retire from hockey, stay here. Or maybe, best case scenario, one of the boys had come of age since I was last here, and I'd bring some kid back to Dallas with me.
But you got me instead. Jamie smiles like he's getting used to the idea.
Yeah, I did.
It rains later that morning, and some of the gathering dissipates, and some of the people bring out pop-up pavilions to cluster their camp chairs under. Tyler is trying to figure out how to ask if it's polite for the two of them to head back to their tent, when Jamie nudges his shoulder, a smile playing on his lips.
You know, we're still on our honeymoon.
Tyler grins. Yeah? And Jamie pulls him to his feet, and they hike back to their tents. Tradition aside, Tyler does have the more comfortable setup, so they go into his. He kicks his shoes off on the porch and crawls in, Jamie right behind him. Jamie catches his ankle and rubs a thumb over the bone there. And it's so intimate, Tyler really doesn't know what to do with it. His husband. It boggles the mind.
I think...
Jamie starts, his tongue flickering out to moisten his lower lip, his eyes downcast. He looks serious all of a sudden, and Tyler leans back on his elbows on the air mattress, worried.
You just need to know that there might be an experience gap,
Jamie finally finishes. Tyler cocks his head, confused.
Huh?
Sexually,
Jamie adds, like that helps at all. Tyler blinks at him, because Tyler has,
well, everything.
So if Tyler's done everything and there's a gap, then Jamie,
you haven't done much?
Tyler asks.
And oh god, he might be half in love with the way Jamie's cheeks flush.
I, gave a blowjob once,
Jamie says, a twist of his mouth making it into a joke. Tyler chokes.
Yesterday, he guesses.
And Jamie nods, still too embarrassed to look at him.
That really shouldn't be as much of a turn-on as it is.
He'll get to be the one to teach Jamie everything.
Was it not allowed?
He asks, and Jamie shakes his head.
No, of course it was allowed. There just wasn't anyone here that was into me, and sex with outsiders just seemed kind of empty.
And it wouldn't be? With me?
Jamie raises his eyes then, smiles as he looks at Tyler.
No, not at all.
Tyler takes a deep, shaky breath. Jamie crawls his way up the bed, precariously balances the air shifts around in the mattress, tipping Tyler one way then the other. He nudges in, shy against Tyler's lips.
Is this okay?
He whispers. And Tyler laughs.
Are you fucking with me?
He asks, and then shows Jamie how it's done. Slow and easy. Unhurried in a way Tyler's never had before. They fly in together, the second time Tyler comes to Victoria. Jamie and him hand in hand as they depart the airplane. It's been a hard year, accidentally outed in the NHL. A deep playoff run that left them so fucking close and utterly exhausted. It hasn't been a perfect year. Tyler doubted sometimes that the matchmakers had any sense at all, putting someone as good and solid as Jamie with a fuck-up like him. They fought, yelled, made up, made out.
I've never seen a mating string thrown in the fire,
Jamie admitted to him one night, when Tyler woke from a bad dream. The she-wolf had torn the string from his hand and threw it in the fire, and he'd been so desperate to keep it, to keep Jamie, that he dived in after it, the logs collapsing around him, over him. And now Tyler is in Jordy's car with Jamie, riding back to the place where it all began, the faded strip of hemp stuffed in his pocket. His fingers keep seeking it out, like without it he won't have Jamie, won't have a mate. They get to the campsite, and it's just like Tyler remembers, despite a year of nature doing its thing. The way people treat him is different this year, though. There isn't the subtle questioning of the previous year. Fewer eyes follow him. He's given a warning that him and Jamie are expected to wake up ass early and start breakfast. People he has kept up with on social media greet him by name. He feels less like a guest and more like family. He likes it. On the bonfire night, he sits against Jamie and watches as 8 children are named and 6 couples are mated, wrists tied, songs sung as they melt into the shadows to go back to the darkened tents to deepen their connection. And when all the new couples have been formed, the circle goes silent, and the she-wolf calls in the old tongue. Jamie's hand tightens on Tyler's like he's holding him back, afraid Tyler is going to slip from him and go to the fire.
This is the time,
Jamie says, and Tyler presses in against him, draws Jamie's arm around him to hold him, shelter him. Nobody stands. Nobody goes to the fire to dissolve their bond. The moment of silence stretches, and then breaks as the wolves howl, raising their voices in jubilation. Later, tired and half-drunk on homemade booze, Tyler draws Jamie into their shared tent, spreads him out and fucks him in the most thorough way he knows how. The morning dawns bright and crisp after the short Canadian night, and Jamie's awake with the sun.
Wake up, slugger, he chides,
poking Tyler until he rolls out of the sleeping bag. Jamie has coffee for him and helps him get dressed. They walk out of the camp, and they hear steps around them, another couple ahead of them on the path. The tree is old, heavy branches drooping low, each one covered with wisps of rotting string.
Go ahead,
Jamie urges, and Tyler pulls the string from his pocket, picks a branch, and ties it on. Double knots it to keep it there until it falls apart. A wolf comes from the underbrush, nudges Tyler's fingers, and licks his palm before disappearing again. He holds his breath until it's gone.
You're packed now, Jamie says. No take-backs.
Tyler smiles. Good. The end. Thanks for listening.